It's 12:09 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live from our sister station, WBAP in Dallas. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, despite all the stereotypes, California is not home to the worst drivers of the country. We're number four. The worst drivers, according to insurance claims in the entire United States, is Iowa.
Well, the only reason they say that is they did the study when Caitlyn Jenner was in Australia taping that reality show. Because the minute she comes back to California, we become the worst. By the way, later on in the show, we're going to talk to a woman by the name of Susan Page. She's a writer for USA Today. And she has this book out. It's a biography on Nancy Pelosi. And it is going to be a fascinating discussion. I know it may not seem like that, but just trust me, everything you know about Nancy Pelosi, well, a lot of it's true. But there's so much more to the backstory that's more interesting than what you know. She's not just a San Francisco socialite. She's a gangster from Baltimore. She comes from a family that used to run the political machine that ran that city for literally decades. But one factoid that I learned in the book, Randy, is that her husband, Paul Pelosi, who is a very wealthy businessman, killed his brother in a car accident when they were younger.
Whoa!
Yeah. They were driving a sports car, a couple of young rich guys, and the details of the crash were quite nebulous, but it sounds like they were racing the car on the California coast. They flipped the car over a bunch of times. The brother got killed, and he survived. What is it with politicians killing people in cars?
Ask Ted Kennedy.
Ted Kennedy did it. Laura Bush did it. Do you remember that one?
No. Holy
cow. Yeah. She got involved in a car crash, and she killed someone back in Texas.
Well, these are positions where you are a proxy to a lot of free alcohol.
No kidding. Caitlyn Jenner, add her to the list.
Now, to be fair, she hit somebody that ended up hitting somebody that killed somebody before she became a politician, but after she became a woman.
A bit of a chain reaction. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. Saw my good buddy Alan West last night. He's running for governor here in Texas. And you know, Randy, with this supply chain problem, it's touched every part of the country. Because I didn't want to come to Texas empty-handed. I haven't seen him in a while. So I bought him this wonderful, very expensive Waterford Crystal. And I was going to present him with that last night at the dinner. But it stuck on one of those boats off the coast of California. So I showed up with nothing.
Oh, what a shame.
But I told him all about it, though. And I deserve credit for the gift because I tried.
He might get it mid-2022.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I told him, don't worry about it. It'll be in the mail. But I went to the Starbucks again this morning, and they were out of like half of the food items. And I started talking to the barista. I thought it was just a my neighborhood thing that they didn't have the ham and cheese croissant. And I ordered the ham and cheese croissant. She said they don't have it. And she said, look at the case, because if you don't see it, we don't have it. And I asked her specifically if it was the supply chain thing. She said, oh, yeah, we're going to have nothing when Christmas rolls around. So it's already starting to affect everything, and I just wonder how much it's going to tick everyone off when they can't get their Christmas gifts or their croissant at Starbucks.
Well, if you can't get a ham sandwich, how's anyone supposed to get a ham at Christmas?
That's right. You know, it could be indicted, according to Mike Bonin.
I can't believe he used that old cliche when trying to explain why we should not suspend Mark Ridley Thomas.
He must have been watching reruns of Matlock last night. No other explanation. Katie Hill, the former congresswoman from the Santa Clarita and Antelope Valley, your home, has announced that she got knocked up by a reporter from Playboy. Did you see that?
It's a whole different kind of thruple. She also very strangely tweeted the other day memorializing that it's been exactly 2 years since naked pictures of me were posted on the internet.
I love the fact that no one learns anything. She got in trouble for sleeping with the help. and now she's with a guy from Playboy? That's like an alcoholic working at Bevmo. How long do you give it before they have a throuple with one of the Playboy girls?
Once you start down the road of a throuple, there's no going back to a duple.
No. No, you just have to move on to four or five, and then you end up in a compound somewhere.
Well, and that was the real thing with Katie Hill. She was cheating on the throuple with another staffer, so it really was a quadruple.
She has an unquestionable thirst for this sort of thing. Unquenchable, rather. I wonder when she got tired of the throuple. At what point does the rotisserie get old?
Just wasn't exciting anymore, I guess.
She had to find greener pastures out there. She's going to run for office again. In fact, I was kind of surprised she didn't run in the recall election, because that's exactly the type of person that would run in that kind of race. Damaged.
Well, maybe she thought that, you know, there'd be too many similar personalities, because Mary Carey was also running.
And Angeline. Do we know what made her famous in the first place? I know her from the billboards, but she's kind of like Prince Charles. She's famous for being famous and does nothing.
Nobody actually knows how it started, but it's perpetuated for decades now, selling pictures of herself and driving around in that Lamborghini.
So the feds have announced that they want you to take a booster shot if you have Johnson & Johnson or Pfizer or Moderna. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the same brand. You can mix and match. You don't have to just stay in the Johnson & Johnson family if that's what you took. You don't have to stay in the Moderna family if that's what you took. It's free for all. Anything goes. Kind of the Katie Hill philosophy. And they are expecting us to start taking those booster shots. And Randy, I've got to say, I don't care what they say. I am not taking any booster shot that is not from the same family as the original one that I took. And I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
When I was getting on the cruise ship, there are people from Canada that were trying to get on the ship as well. And in Canada, their rollout of the vaccines was 100 times worse than ours. They couldn't get them in people's arms. And originally, they had the AstraZeneca shot up there. And then they finally got their hands on one of the others. But because they were so disorganized, what they were telling people is, it doesn't matter if your first one was AstraZeneca. If they have Moderna, your second one can be Moderna, and just take that. And that's what they put on their cards. But the cruise lines, among others, would not accept that as proof of vaccination. They would only accept certain vaccines, and they all had to be from the same family. So if I go ahead and roll up my arm and take the booster, I don't want to get caught in this administrative black hole and not have it work when I want to get on the ship.
So the FDA didn't call Carnival when they came up with this policy to make sure that that's good across the world?
No, they should have negotiated on the Lido deck. Have Clay Aiken in the background singing Copacabana. Work out the details. Maybe a strawberry daiquiri stain on the paper.
You know, just to make sure that you don't get bumped off of any cruises next year, maybe you need to just up all the boosters, get two Modernas in this arm, get two Pfizers in this arm, and then get two of the Johnson & Johnsons anywhere else that has an opening.
Just have so many syringes lying around, it looks like it's backstage at Saturday Night Live.
You'll have so many vaccine cards, they won't know what to do with you.
Get 52 of them like a deck. But people are having travel issues all over the place because of the pandemic. And Randy, we have an example of a horrible, horrible, horrible story from Europe.
Okay, we're finally getting out of the pandemic somewhat. A couple in the Bay Area found a fantastic deal to fly to Greece. What a dream vacation, especially this time of year. It's gorgeous out there. It was through a Swiss airline and had a layover in Switzerland. It was a flight to Greece that had a layover in Switzerland. However, they could not get off the plane and enter the Swiss airport because Swiss COVID restrictions won't allow Americans into their country. So they didn't get to go to Greece.
So they wouldn't let them off the plane, or they wouldn't let them out of the airport?
They wouldn't let them in the airport.
For more, here's KGO.
COVID travel restrictions.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Restrictions are slowly easing up, but the rules keep changing and they vary from one place to the next.
When some people from the Bay Area booked a trip to Greece, they had no idea of the nightmare ahead. Seven on Your Side's Michael Finney joins us with their story. Michael.
Okay, listen to this one. Greece had lifted travel restrictions and these friends had all the documents Greece required. But the trip unraveled when they tried to connect to their flight in Switzerland. They were stopped at the gate, and worse, police came and arrested them.
Wait a minute. They're not letting them into the country because they think that they're potentially typhoid Marys. So they take them and they put them in a crowded holding cell.
I was shocked. I mean, at first I thought this was some kind of joke.
Cindy Miller and her friend Brett were headed for a three-week tour of Greece.
We haven't taken a-
Are they just friends, or is this another throuple?
Could be.
We haven't taken a trip for, 18 months because of COVID, so we're going to splurge.
They booked a Swiss Air flight from San Francisco to Athens with a connection in Zurich. It all went smoothly until that connection in Zurich.
The guy at passport control says, you can't come in. I'm like, what do you mean we can't come in? There's my gate. My flight's leaving in 2 hours right there. And that was when the whole thing happened. He took our passports. He called the police. The police came, full-on police with guns, everything, took us into the basement, which was a police station.
Swiss.
You know, all of a sudden, I think LAX is in such a bad place.
I wonder if they thought it was Mark Ridley Thomas.
Well, it couldn't be. He surrendered his passport yesterday.
They wouldn't let him out of the airport either.
Swiss police said their gate technically was inside Switzerland, and Americans were banned from Switzerland because of COVID-19. They would have to be deported all the way back to California.
I'm sure before they went on vacation, especially living up there, they've had it with all the syringes, with the feces on the street, with the homeless, with the traffic, with the crime, and they say to themselves, it's time for us to go to Europe, have a nice Greek vacation, eat some baklava, have some hummus, enjoy ourselves. Maybe go to the beach. You save up. You sit at home. We were on lockdown for over a year. They get to the airport, go through TSA, no problem. Smooth sailing. You get to the city that you're connecting your planes in. You get off the plane, and all of a sudden, they treat you like you're Jack the Ripper.
We don't want any dirty Americans in our country, even if it's just to connect to another flight.
Do you think it was just because they were Americans, or when they found out they were from San Francisco, they just assumed they had all kinds of communicable diseases?
That's probably when they had to bring the police out.
California.
I'm crying. They showed us deportation papers. They put us in this area that had like bunk beds. Mixed men and women bunk beds and said, here's where you're going to sleep for the next day. And I was like,
oh, geez, they wouldn't even put them in a hotel.
No, they're definitely not a throuple, because if they were in a throuple, they would look at the bunk beds as opportunity.
Said, here's where you're going to sleep for the next day. And I was like, no, I'm not sleeping in a bunk bed with all these men.
They sat up all night along with other travelers also booted from their flight.
I think I was in a state of shock. I'm like in the basement surrounded by police with giant rifles and nobody cares one bit.
How was this flight even originated? If you can't fly into Switzerland, what is Swiss Air doing booking flights out of SFO that go through Zurich?
Okay, here's the moral of the story. Don't book your airline tickets on Orbitz. Use a travel agent. Travel agents matter when things go sideways. They would troubleshoot situations exactly like this for you, and you wouldn't have to worry about it. But you go to Expedia, you go to Priceline, it's a computer. They don't care. They'll let you get arrested and deported. This woman had no idea she was going to be an illegal alien in Switzerland and put in a holding cell and bunk beds and sent home.
They probably thought, oh, we're going to save $500 if we just do this layover in Switzerland.
Oh, I never buy my own tickets. I go to Miss Bonnie for everything.
Your flight.
I think I was in a state of shock. I'm like in the basement, surrounded by police with giant rifles, and nobody cares one bit about our situation.
They didn't give up on their Greek vacation, though, persuading police to deport them only as far as New York.
The next day, still haven't changed our clothes, nothing. Sent us all the way back over the Atlantic to New York City.
Then a tech.
These people are determined to get their vacation on.
You know, after hearing this story, getting deported could be one of those bucket list situations. You'd have stories for years.
I also didn't know you can tell them where they can deport you to.
The next day, still haven't changed our clothes, nothing. Sent us all the way back over the Atlantic to New York City.
Then a text from Swiss Air. Their luggage never made the flight.
From the frying pan to the fire.
They probably burned it because they thought the luggage had COVID.
All the way back over the Atlantic to New York, burst into tears again. Now I'm thinking, oh my God, I have to go run to Target and buy some underwear. My friend goes, you know what? Let's just go down to baggage claim and check. And our bags were there. Oh, we were jumping up and down, hugging each other.
The couple got a flight from New York direct to Athens, finally joining the tour, worn but happy.
It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Cindy blames Swiss Air for booking them on a flight they could not take.
They're allowing people to fly across the Atlantic only to be deported, and they're letting it happen?
Again, travel tip number one, and besides, use a travel agent. Make sure you're going direct out of this country.
Would you continue on with the vacation if you got deported?
I think at that point, you've got to do everything you can do because now you really need a vacation.
I might just cut bait at that point.
Happened?
Swiss Air denied any refund, saying passengers are responsible to carry proper travel documents. Seven on your side.
The documents wouldn't matter. They won't allow Americans into their country, yet they allow an American to book a flight.
Seems like a trap to me.
Swiss Air denied any refund, saying passengers are responsible to carry proper travel documents. Seven on your side pointed out Americans were barred from entry no matter the documents, and the airline did agree to refund $3,400 for extra costs.
I'm really happy we at least got that, and that's all thanks to you guys.
We contacted the Swiss consulate, which tells us those travel restrictions for Americans have been lifted. With proof of vaccination, you can now enter Switzerland or just transfer planes there.
What a story.
Amazing.
I love the passive-aggressive giggle at the end.
Well, and KGO in the Bay Area has this habit of making sure they pat themselves on the back every time that they make something happen for somebody. But you know what? Yeah, good for them.
That guy was proud of himself.
Consumer reporters and investigative reporters get more done than any politician in this state.
That's very true. Now let's see if the reporter can get them their chocolate and a clock. You know, Randy, whenever I travel, one of the first things I do when I get home, especially if I've been gone a while, is I go to that In-N-Out Burger on Sepulveda, right there next to LAX, and I stuff my little piggy face.
It really is that taste of California that you've been missing.
I've also thought many times about going to a very nice restaurant. You know, one of those restaurants that has so many forks and knives on the table, there isn't any room for your elbows. And look at the menu. And when the waiter comes by to take my order, ask them if they can do that animal style. Wonder what reaction I'd get. But anyway, In-N-Out Burger has gone to war with the city and county of San Francisco. For more, here's Randy Wang.
That's right. In-N-Out Burger is at least the most prominent restaurant that San Francisco is, quote, trying to make an example.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
people out of here because San Francisco has a vaccine check mandate for all public places and businesses like restaurants and bars. So even at a In-N-Out Burger, a hamburger stand, if you want to dine indoors, you have to show proof of your vaccine. That means that it's on that restaurant to have an employee standing outside doing that. There's a lot of restaurants not doing that. The health department thought, I know a way to get this in place. We're going to shut down an In-N-Out Burger for the day. And apparently, I didn't know this, there's only one In-N-Out Burger in all of San Francisco. What the hell?
If they shut down the In-N-Out Burger, though, is there still a line that blocks traffic?
Well, that's the thing. Are they shutting down just the dining room? Because I can't even imagine eating inside an In-N-Out. It's all about drive-thru, baby.
Let's hear more from KPIX.
A live look at San Francisco, where the city's only In-N-Out Burger is in a fight with health officials over COVID vaccine checks. Good evening. I'm Elizabeth Cook.
And I'm Brian Hackney. San Francisco briefly shut down the In-N-Out restaurant for not following the rules.
Well, they let that intro music play on for a long time.
No kidding.
For not following the rules. KPIX Live's Betty Yu tells us about the big burger battle. Betty.
I love the alliteration there.
Big burger battle, Betty.
I think you could have more fun in a small market TV station. We don't get a lot of that here with our reporters.
Can you imagine if you and I were doing Wake Up Omaha?
KPIX Live's Betty Yu tells us about the big burger battle, Betty.
Brian, right now, this Fisherman's Wharf In-N-Out location is open, but only for to-go orders. Take a look at that sign on the door. It says indoor dining is unavailable at this time, and that's because the city's Department of Public Health said In-N-Out is not complying with its health order to check for proof of vaccination from customers. It was not denying entry to those without proper documentation. Now, the city confirmed it closed this location temporarily last Thursday. In-N-Out said that while it posted signage to display local health requirements, it would not comply with what it called the requirement to act as the vaccination police.
In-N-Out's okay. Throwing down.
In-N-Out Burger is a delicious burger place. You know the food tastes good. The cheeseburgers, the fries, the shakes, you name it, it's fantastic. But let's not kid ourselves and look at them as being a paragon of health. They're serving you a 7,000 calorie lunch.
And if you want, you can go animal style and throw some more cheese on it.
Now all of a sudden, they're supposed to be like Jack LaLanne and worried about everyone's health that's going into that store? Yeah, right.
Thank you for showing us proof of vaccination. Here is your 4x4.
Knock yourself out.
With a Diet Coke, of course.
One must be healthy.
I have no problem with the mandates, and I think that the city says enforce them. You have to enforce them. It's part of doing business in the city. You got to follow their rules.
I think that's a little negligent on their part. A lot of people.
In-N-Outs, to be clear.
Yeah, In-N-Out.
Some really hard-hitting man on the street interviews there.
I'm sure you get some interesting responses in San Francisco. I'm more interested in the ones that she couldn't use for one reason or another than the ones she included in the package.
And the health department said in a statement, public health inspectors had attempted multiple times to bring the business into compliance with the health order. In-N-Out Burger had not complied by the time the final notice of violation and a notice of closure was issued. And In-N-Out said in its statement, we fiercely disagree with any government dictate that forces a private company to discriminate against customers who choose to patronize their business. This is clear governmental overreach and is intrusive, improper, and offensive. Now, the city said that
if they have an employee standing in front of the restaurant checking vaccine cards, that's one less guy on the fry press making sure they smash those potatoes in time for me to have my fries ready to go.
Well, and this is interesting because In-N-Out is clearly being targeted. They're not the only ones who are refusing to follow these ridiculous edicts.
No, if you're already an understaffed restaurant and there's tons of them in the Bay Area and Los Angeles, do you really have the budget for one of your few employees that you have to be standing outside like a bouncer?
And they're one of the companies that theoretically does what these left-wing cities want them to do. Their managers all make six figures. I believe they start out at $15 an hour, maybe higher, for the lowest paid employee in the company.
I believe it's 18 now, maybe 19. There's a sign outside the In-N-Out Burger near here. They're hiring and they pay well.
They treat them well. They pay them well. They all have health insurance, but it's a Republican-owned company. So in San Francisco, that means there's a great big bullseye on their front door.
Now, the city said that it first visited this location in late September following a complaint and then revisited October 6th, and it found then that it was still in violation of its health order.
Okay, who went into the In-N-Out Burger and narked to the county?
It had to be someone who got cold fries. Why else would you do that?
That's just punitive. Who goes around walking in restaurants to see if they're in compliance with these health orders? If you don't specifically work for the county, you call that, you know, Barbara Ferrer set up a tip line when we banned outdoor dining. I can't imagine the kind of person. I could never have dinner with that kind of person that walks around and says, those tables are less than 6 feet apart.
Well, this pandemic has turned everyone into a hall monitor. People feel justified telling everyone else how to run their lives. And if they can narc on you and they can get you in trouble, they feel like they deserve a badge. Is that it from the report?
That's all we've got from KPIX. But of course, In-N-Out Burger, being the Southern California icon that it is, has a lot of people down here worried that these kind of fights could happen when the city of Los Angeles has a similar mandate that takes effect in November.
For more on that, here's Fox 11.
Alex, well, we may be at an In-N-Out hundreds of miles away from that one in San Francisco, but customers here say they are also very concerned about that shutdown. They're worried that the same thing could happen right here in L.A., especially after hearing the company's very strong response.
Number 21, please.
One of California's most popular burger joints says it fiercely disagrees with the enforcement of a vaccine mandate on customers. And tonight, In-N-Out is refusing to back down.
It's scary. It's scary. It's sad.
The only In-N-Out in San Francisco shut down by health officials because workers didn't ask customers for vaccine records.
It's unfair, yeah. Really unfair.
But the company is adamant, saying
You know, I'm not really sure, based on at least the two men on the streets we've had so far, what their stance actually is.
What the stance of the city or the restaurant?
No, what the stance of the person that they're being interviewed. Are they saying it's not fair that In-N-Out Burger had to be put under this? Or are they saying it's not fair that In-N-Out wouldn't do it?
It's San Francisco. They're confused in many ways.
It's unfair, yeah. Really unfair.
But the company is adamant, saying we refuse to become the vaccination police for any government. It is unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe to force out restaurant associates to segregate customers into those who may be served and those who may not, whether based on the documentation they carry or for any other reason.
Let them do their job that they were hired to do, not to ask everybody if you've got a vaccine or not.
Because I feel bad for them, you know.
What happened in San Francisco now has people in L.A. wondering if establishments here could be shut down for the same reason.
Oh, once the fake doctor gets her hands on this mandate.
I would imagine that they would be hesitant to shut down In-N-Out. Do you want to be the one that stands in between Sheila Kuehl and her double-double?
Wait, who?
Famed comedian Louis Anderson and his double-double.
Especially since L.A. has one of the strictest vaccine mandates in the country.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I would hate to see it happen, and I don't agree with it.
San Francisco restaurants are legally required to ask for proof of vaccination, just like L.A. County. But health officials here say they are warning non-compliant businesses, not shutting them down, taking a more educational approach compared to San Francisco. L.A. County health inspectors visited nearly 130 businesses affected by the mandate so far. 24 establishments were trained, none shut down, leaving customers across California wondering what's next.
What do you think that training session's like?
I'm sure it's highly entertaining.
We're not going to shut you down, but we are going to put your management in an 8-hour session with the fake doctor.
Right now, you don't know what's going to happen.
And one thing that's become very evident throughout all this is how differently cities across California are handling not only the vaccine mandate, but the enforcement of the vaccine mandate. We should note that health officials in San Francisco warned that in and out multiple times before shutting them down. Reporting live in North Hollywood tonight, I'm Jessica Oh, Fox 11 News.
And you know, because of this idiotic rule, Randy, we're all going to suffer. If we can't get our In-N-Out lunch, that's punishment.
You know what's the funniest thing about this? You know, you could argue, is this a good story for In-N-Out? Is this a bad story for In-N-Out? Doesn't matter what the story is. Just hearing In-N-Out, I am starving right now.
Oh, you know, they expanded. They weren't in other parts of the country until fairly recently. And they now have them in Texas. And Texans have now had their palate go in all kinds of different directions with those In-N-Out burgers. I mean, it is just a food orgy in your mouth when you eat one of those hamburgers. You should see the lines here.
You know, the lines are pretty long, although from the Texans that I talk to, they're all like, yeah, it's good, but it's no Whataburger.
They'll learn. Former U.S. ambassador to Germany and director of national intelligence, Rick Grinnell, joins us at the top of the hour. Also, at 2 o'clock, we're going to talk to Susan Page. She wrote a biography on Nancy Pelosi. You may think you know Nancy Pelosi. Trust me when I tell you you don't. Get all the details at 2. You do not want to miss it. Trust me.
In order to get into Pelosi's head, did she start eating ice cream for breakfast?
She does talk about that. And that's one issue I'm in complete agreement with Nancy Pelosi on. Her take is, all ice cream is dairy and sugar. What's the difference between ice cream and yogurt?
Well, one is better.
She eats it for breakfast every day. Gasoline is now $7.59 a gallon in one California town. In the town of Gorda, wait, isn't that fat in Spanish?
I think that's Gordo.
But Gorda would be the feminine version of that. So if it's a female who's fat.
Where's Gorda, California?
I don't know where that is.
It's in Monterey County, so it's kind of near the coast. But you're talking about near Big Sur, a very, very, very remote area.
That name can't be good for real estate prices. Imagine going on vacation to some Spanish country. I'm going to Argentina. What city are you visiting? Fat.
Well, now you've got me curious. Let's see what Zillow says about Gorda, California. I mean, it's next to Big Sur, so you got to imagine. All right, there's one property for sale, $7 million.
Whoa. Did they just remodel the bathrooms?
It's a two-bed, two-bath with 2,000 square feet.
Wait, $7 million for two-bed, two-bath?
It overlooks the Pacific Ocean.
I guess everything up there is high.
Now, you go a little further south, there's some empty lots you can buy for $500,000.
So what are you going to do, live in a ditch? You need a domicile.
You might want to go further inland for some actual real estate, but yes. If you want to live in Gordo, it's going to cost you.
Gorda.
Gorda, excuse me.
We got to find out if that means fat, too. Anyone at the station speaks Spanish? Lewis speaks Spanish, doesn't he?
Yeah, but that means he'd have to walk all the way over here. Okay. Gorda in Spanish, according to Google Translate, is fat woman.
There you go. Who was playing a prank back in the days of the Spanish missions when they named that town Gorda? They have to have a Wikipedia page. Let's find out. The town's only gas station is offering regular unleaded for $7.59 a gallon. Premium is nearly $8.50 a gallon. I wonder what it is if you use a credit card and have them pump it.
You'll be up to $9.
I got to type in Gorda, California. There's got to be a story.
On how Gorda got named?
Gorda, named it California. Fat woman.
It's an unincorporated community in Monterey County. The fresh springs in Gorda were used by Native American tribes. The first Europeans arrived all the way back in 1878 when a stagecoach shop was built in Gorda. It was called Gorda even back then.
Gorda is derived from the Spanish word for fat or well-fed. Interesting. All right, that's going to do it for hour number one.
Oh, my Rick God, here we go. Here what? We go. Gorda is in the 17th Senate District. So the representative for Gorda is Democrat John Lard.
Maybe Jerry Nadler can be the congressman up there.
State Senator John Lard from Gorda, California.
Sometimes your name is your destiny. All right, we've got two more hours coming up. Rick Grinnell joins us for the Fix California Hour. Don't go anywhere. 790 KABC.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.